Now, good? All right, good. Thank you. That poor guy could have been flailing his arms for the last 5 minutes. I didn't notice. I'm sorry about that. But let me say this as well. I'm really, really encouraged to see the development of some of our people where, you know what, we've got things to do around here. And Brother James goes, hey, I'd like to give this to someone else and someone that has an interest in these kinds of things. I just want to say thanks, Brother Caleb, for doing what you're doing in the media stuff. I had people come up to me and say, hey, Brother Dominguez, nice to see you. And I'm going, I have no idea who you are. Down there in Pensacola, and they said they watch our messages online. They pray for our church. Some people give to our church because of what they're seeing and hearing online. So that ministry is very important. Thank you, brother, for doing what you're doing. Romans 15, verse number 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And they're just continuing the thought that it's really not about you, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ and others. And if you want to be miserable, think about you. I'm serious. If you know what? You know what the common thread is with people that are, and this is not a joke, this is a true scientific survey. When they go through a place where people have what we would label as mental issues, and they put them in a, you used to call them asylums, they have all kinds of names for them now, but when you go through there, you do a survey, what you find, the common thread with all those people is that they constantly think about themselves. True story. So if you want to be happy in life, think about other people, amen? Verse 3, for even Christ, our example, pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth, amen, he's addressing Baptists right now, amen, not double-tongued, one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Our two main topics today are going to be unity in the body of Christ and the idea of patience, what the Bible says about patience as a believer. So let's go ahead and jump right in. Let me just say this, and I'm going to reiterate something that we mentioned maybe last week or the week before, whenever it was, the last time was that you guys let me teach in Romans. The devil's job is to separate you from the people you're to be united with, and he wants to unite you with the people you're supposed to be separated from. And one of the ways that he does that is he does it by separating you first from your church body. And let me just say this, the body of Christ and the local church are not the same thing. The local church is a good kind of snapshot, if you will, of what the body of Christ is at large. I mean, if you look around the room, different colors, different ages, different backgrounds, different socioeconomic statuses, that's kind of how it ought to be. You know why? Because the gospel is not for rich or poor or black or white, it's for everybody. And so when people get saved, they need to be discipled, and they get brought into a local church to get that. And so what you have in a local church is kind of like a microcosm of what you have in the body of Christ at large. And let me just say this, the devil is going to strive. I know this much. Most people that get all kind of whacked out with weird doctrine, it usually started with them kind of slipping further and further away from their local church. Everyone wants to feel like they're a part of something. If you're a born-again child of God, you are accepted in the Beloved. You don't have to be accepted by the world. You don't have to be accepted by having 1,000 or 1,000,000 followers on TikTok or YouTube or whatever else. You are accepted in the Beloved. And listen, if you're accepted in the Beloved, there's no reason why you cannot find a place in a local Bible-believing church. Now, I'm going to say this much. I recently talked to somebody trying to encourage them while I was on this trip, and nobody here, someone out of, I got disclaimers all the time, because if not, someone's going, when is the last time I talked to pastor? And did I say this? No, it's not you if you're in this room. But I was talking with someone, they said, man, I just feel like God's done with me. And you know what I said? I said, God's not done with you unless you have taken yourself out. If you're still breathing, God's not done with you. That's simple theology, but it works, all right? So if you're saved, you're a born-again child of God, you are, the next step in your life is to be discipled and grounded as a believer. You need a local church, and that's what this is here for. When you find yourself kind of finding reasons why it's easier to talk to people outside of the body of Christ, outside of believers in your local church, you have to question what's going on. And you need to understand that is not the work of the Lord. All right, now I know we went through this before, but go to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. The Bible's a poetic book. Amen? You ever read Song of Solomon? All right, now some of these young guys, they, you know, one day they're going to get enough guts to talk to a girl and talk to them, you know, and hey, I kind of think you're cute. Can I have your number? Well, let me do it. Step number one is talk to dad. Amen. If you haven't gone there yet, you are not worthy. You are not worthy to get that girl's phone number, right? But when you work up enough courage, let me give you something you don't want to do. You don't want to get your pickup lines from the Song of Solomon, okay? Like, Lenny, don't say your teeth are like a flock of sheep, baby. It's going to be weird. She's going to think you're strange. It is biblical, but I'm just saying. The Bible is a very poetic book, and when it describes certain things, it does it in language that is unrivaled, that you will not find anywhere else. Look at Psalm 133 when it talks about the subject of unity. Psalm 133, look at verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Do you realize if you're saved and you're married to a believer, that is also your brethren, all right? Or your sister-in, if you want to go there, all right? You know what that means? You ought to be dwelling together in unity. We're going to talk about how to accomplish that in the body, all right? But I do want to say this. So many things that people are going to Christian bookstores or read up on marriage, and I'm not saying that's even a bad thing, but oftentimes you spend all this time going and buying in these resources and pouring through these resources, and the principles are already in the book. They're ones you can apply to every other believer, including your spouse. Do you know what Jesus said? He said a prophet is not without honor. That's a double negative. Miss Lear, I paid attention in grammar. A prophet is not without honor except in his own country. And what that means is that, look, the hardest people to minister to reach with, the gospel with, to reach out to maintain a Christian testimony with, are the people in your family. Can I get a witness? Amen. All right. You know why? They have seen every side of you. Right? At church, we kind of see a certain version of you. And I'm not going to lie. I kind of like the version I see at church. I don't know that I want you yelling at me like you yell at your family. All right? But there's only so much we see here, right? And then you go home. And so you need to understand that, look, the same principles that apply to the body of Christ at large apply to every aspect of your life with other believers, all right? Look what it says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I got to take a time out. This is my pastoral ADD. Miss Tammy has a baby doll next to her, and I thought, why is there a kid in here? And it kind of creeped me out because it was just staring at me. Sorry, I'm good. We're back on track, all right? How pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. 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 All right? You know, God wants to see that. Now, I'm not going to preach it this morning. I have to tell you, at some point I want to preach this message. There are definitely some believers who don't divide enough. I will admit that. They don't divide enough from those they shouldn't be with, and they don't divide enough when it comes to doctrine and all that kind of stuff. The Bible does say we should divide, we should mark certain things, and if we're being biblical, even certain people. I didn't write the book. Romans 16 says that. Mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have received. I'm all for that because it's biblical. But I'll also say this. You don't need to divide from someone just because they don't do everything exactly like you do. You don't need to divide from someone because you're a snob and try to use a biblical reason for justifying your outlook on other people. All right, I see a lot of that within the church. I'm not even saying our church. I just mean the church at large, where they don't do it like we do it. Well, are they doing something biblical? Well, yeah, but they should do it like us. Leave them alone. Last I checked, independent Baptists are called independent. Meaning that their church, if they're going to do it that way, that's their business. If it's not against the Bible, leave them alone. And listen, there are some things, Brother Ben and I were talking, I don't want to talk about what it was about because it's personal, but we were talking about something that you know, some people would frown on and say, you can't do that, where the Bible doesn't really say. You have liberty to do it, and you should be mindful of following your conscience on it, Romans 14. But man, I'm telling you guys, we are, in some cases, I think we're overly divided, okay? I mean, listen, some people, you know, is it a 7-year tribulation or a 3.5-year tribulation? I got two answers for you, all right? The first answer is yes. And the second answer is, it's not worth arguing about. I mean, it's not worth splitting fellowship over, I can tell you that. Now listen, if you're the guy that's teaching we're going through the tribulation, it's been nice knowing you. All right, now I'll draw a line there because that's clearly against Scripture. All right, but when it comes to things that are like, it kind of looks this way here, it kind of looks this way here. I know this much, I'm not splitting fellowship with a guy because he goes this way on it versus a guy that goes this way on it. Now, listen, there are reasons to split fellowship. You have to make sure that the reason you're united with somebody and the reason you're divided from somebody is biblical. I see this at summer camp. I see it even at Bible school. You know, the kids whose parents kind of nudged them to go to Bible school, they find each other. Nervous laugh. All right. And that's not implying that Brother Joe was one of them, okay? I want to make that very clear. He's laughing because he knows. He has seen this play out before. All right. The kids who went to summer camp, I'll never forget. I know it's not right to pick on someone that's not here, but I'll look at you guys since you're your siblings with him, right? When Isaac Maldonado says, "I'm not going to summer camp," with his big mushroom fro, you know? And you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I'm not going to summer camp. And he ended up going, and now he's in Bible school. Now, you know what? When he went, man, he didn't want to go, but he got his heart right about it on his way and enjoyed summer camp, got his life right, man, started bringing people to God, did some great things there. What I'm getting at is this. I've also seen kids go to summer camp who said, I'm looking forward to summer camp, and deep down inside, they don't want to be there. Their parents made them go, and the entire time they're there, they gravitate to the people that also feel the same way. Now listen, you better make sure that whether it's, and I'm not just preaching to the teenagers, but when you find yourself gravitating towards people and being united with them, listen, Pilate and Herod hated each other. They did not, they had no, it's almost like, let's just say one's a Democrat, one's a Republican. Does that make sense to you? All right, so this guy tweets this guy's tweeting the opposite, and this guy tweets the opposite. They hate each other, and the twain shall never meet until Jesus Christ gets in the picture. And then all of a sudden, they're best friends over someone that they hate. And I tell you what, I'm not trying to pick on you teenage girls, but teenage girls are real mad about that. Like, "Oh, did you see what she wore? Oh, I don't like her either. Let's be friends." It's a bad idea, all right? Like, if that's the basis of your friendship, your dislike, your common dislike for someone else, eventually you're going to hate each other. You know that, right? Yeah. You understand that? And so if your friendship and fellowship and unity is not based on something of substance, it will not last. All right, look if you would at Philippians chapter number 2. Have the right mindset. You want to with one mouth and one mind glorify God as we're told to do in Romans? Here's how you do it. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter 2, look if you would, at verse, I'm in Ephesians, I knew that wasn't right. That's a good verse. Any part of the Bible is good, amen? Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, let me just say this. I know we've gone through this before, but when it says "let," you know what that means? You have a choice. You have a choice about how you view yourself. I'm going to give you two extremes and show you how they're both wrong. One extreme is, I'm a pretty good guy. I mean, just look at me. I know the Bible. I got my hair combed right. I got a tie on. I mean, I'm in an independent Baptist church. I know doctrine. I know how to rightly divide. I'm pretty smart. You guys should follow me. There's that. There's pride. There's ego. And then there's the other extreme. I'm a worm. God should just smush me now. I shouldn't even be breathing. I don't know why I'm alive. You know, I mean, do you understand what the problem is with both of those? You're the center of the thought on both of those. All right? So when the way that you ought to approach it biblically is right here. Let this mind choose to think the right way. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made it." Look, you know what verse 5 shows me and verse 7 shows me? Choices. choices. Verse 5, let this mind. You have to think the right. Yeah, it's a choice you're making about how you think. When someone says, I couldn't stop thinking about it. Yes, you can. When someone says, my mind just keeps going back there, then put the brakes on. You know, I know someone's going to tell me, someone's probably going to come up to me afterward and tell me why psychologically I'm missing something, and I'm sure you're probably right and the Bible's wrong, but I'm just telling you, when God says, let this mind be in you, that means you have a choice in the matter. He would be wasting his words and inspiration of those words on us if he's telling us to do something we don't have a choice in and we cannot do. When he says, let this mind be in you, that means you've got a choice with how you see yourself. And how you see the world around you, and how you view others, and how you view yourself in light to your relationship with others. Let this mind be in you, the Bible says, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 7. But made himself. You know what you got to do? Make yourself. You don't want to get up in the morning, do you? Most of you don't. Some of you might be that way. I'm kind of weird. I was the kid that would wake up my mom at 4:30 in the morning. I don't know how she didn't kill me. 4:30 in the morning, I was up as a little kid. But most all people aren't that way. You get up in the morning, you don't always want to get up in the morning. Can I get a witness? That alarm goes off, and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I can get up later, right? I'll get up later. But eventually, you got to make yourself get out of bed. And then you get up, and you go, okay, I need to read my Bible. I don't want to read my Bible. I want to do something else. I want to scroll through my phone. That's easier to do, right? So you know what you got to do? You got to make yourself. And then someone, you go to church and you had a bad week and you don't even necessarily, you kind of made yourself come and someone says, good morning, brother, good to see you. And you got to make yourself say, good morning, brother, good to see you. There's a lot of things you need to learn to make yourself do. Now look, that doesn't mean that the heart is automatically right, but I will tell you this, commit thy works in the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. You know how you get sometimes the right thoughts? By making yourself do what you know is right that you don't want to do. There are preachers all over this country who got up today dealing with things in their personal lives who did not want to preach, who did not want to teach. I'm thankful they didn't stay home. I'm thankful they didn't go, you know what, I'm just not feeling it today, you know? I think I'm going to watch Sunday NFL ticket instead and stay in my jammies and just drink my coffee and let the church do its own thing. I'm glad for that. I'm glad there are preachers that made themselves. I'm glad that maybe some of you are like, yeah, preacher, that's me. You made yourself come to church. I'm glad you're here. Listen, the Bible says he made himself of no reputation. You know what that means? He had a choice. Do you realize they try to get Jesus Christ involved in politics several times? You know that? They try to drag him into the political realm over and over, and he chose not to. Do you know he could have made a name for himself that way? And he said, nope, I'm not getting involved in this. That's not why I'm here. All right, you know what he said? I'm going to make myself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. You want unity in the body of Christ? If everyone sees himself as a servant, it works. Once you see yourself as above doing something, I've had people say, well, you know, I'm out of Bible school, you know, and I want to get involved in a church. I want to go do something. I want to go teach the Bible. You know what you need to do first off? Take the trash out. You need to help someone when their car breaks down. You need to maybe help clean up after a meeting. You say, why is that? Because, man, if you don't have the right attitude about that, you have no business behind a pulpit. You realize that. You guys need to understand that look at Jesus Christ. He is at the right hand of God the Father, but not without first submitting himself to the sacrifice of dying for our sins, for the fulfilling the will of the Father. You know what that is? He made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You say, what is that? I'll tell you what that is. That's the right mindset. It doesn't matter so much about me making a name for myself. Because my reputation, you know why it says he made himself of no reputation? You know what your reputation is, guys? Your reputation is what people think of you. And you know what you got? You got a bunch of sinners who you're trying to impress.
Right.
Yeah. Sinners just like you. But you know what your character is? What God knows you to be. When the lights are off and nobody's around. And you know what I'm getting at? Jesus Christ, he didn't make himself of no character. He made himself of no reputation. They're different. And you know what he ended up saying? I don't care what everyone thinks of me. I'm going to submit to the Father's plan. And I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to gird myself with a towel. And I'm going to get down and I'm going to wash their feet. And by doing that, I'm showing an example to the body that will be won by my sacrifice. And by doing that, they'll understand the way they should approach one another is by an attitude and a spirit of service. Have you not noticed since all the COVID stuff, I don't want to get too far off, but have you not noticed since all the COVID stuff, when you go into like a restaurant or anywhere anymore, it almost feels like you should bow down and say, thank you for taking my money and for allowing me the opportunity for you to serve me. Does it feel like customer service is dying? All right, it kind of feels like, you know, you walk in and they're looking at you like, oh, you're here with nine others, huh? It's like, well, I got money. Do you want it? Well, we've had others, you know, like, I mean, come on, you know, I'm going to give you money for stuff that you have to sell, and without me coming, you don't have a business, and yet it seems like they're looking at you like, how dare you show up here with all these people for me to serve? That's not the right way to approach it. You understand that. You're irritated by that. Understand that when God looks down on his body, and everyone's jockeying for a position, instead of saying, I can serve, he sees the same thing. The Lord wants to see a spirit of service among his people. You want unity, that's how you do it. Look at Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter 4, the book of Philippians talks about striving together for the gospel's sake. And that's different than striving against each other for the gospel's sake. You understand? Striving together means we're fighting external enemies together. Striving against each other means we're fighting each other. And I'll tell you what, guys, God does not care for that. Matter of fact, keep your hand in Acts, but go back to Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter number 6. This is just to show you, if I were to ask you, what are the worst things you could do? You know what somebody would say? Shoot up heroin, you know, get strung out, you know, go clubbing and getting lost in that scene on Saturday night. And I'm not advocating that you do any of that stuff. You know, going on a bender and getting drunk for a week. I mean, I'm not saying you should do any of that stuff, and it has no place in the life of a believer. But I want you to understand that when God looks at things that he hates, those things don't make the list. Let me show you. Look at Proverbs 6, verse number 16. These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him. A proud look. You're not going to tell me anything. You're not going to teach me anything. A lying tongue. Well, I left a certain part out. Yeah. Yeah, you left it out because you didn't want to tell the whole truth, so help you God, right? A lying tongue and hands that sin innocent blood. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Do you realize that, come on, guys, that's every person in this room at some point in our lives. If not this morning, if not right now, I don't know. I mean, that's just how our minds work, right? Look what it says. Feet to be swift in running to mischief. Man, when you find that you're basically a heat-seeking missile to drama, like wherever drama's at, you're there, it's probably not drama, it's you. Amen. I appreciate the two amens I got. Amen. Amen. All right, look at the rest of this thing, though. A false witness that speaketh lies. That's not just a lying tongue. That's talking about somebody else and lying about them. And then notice what it says here. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, I'm not trying to add to the Bible. I want you to look back at the passage. There are things that God hates. In the list of things God hates, watch it, he that soweth discord among the brethren. Am I adding to the words of God? You know what that means? God's not a fan of you if you're sowing discord among the brethren. He hates it. All right? As a matter of fact, I'll take mine. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. No? Okay. All right. I just thought this was like Uber Eats or something. I didn't know. By the way, if anyone wants to walk in and, you know, at any time and bring me something to drink, I'm okay with that. Totally okay with that. But what I'm getting at, guys, is this. God hates when someone is sowing discord among the brethren. Well, I don't know. I'm not really sure. Now, if you ever start a sentence with, I'm not sure, but I heard, stop. I will. Amen. I'll do it again. If you ever start a sentence with, I'm going to do it just as she asked me to, with, I don't know, but I heard, you should stop. And furthermore, I would also say this. I would also say that if you're getting information from someone and they're giving information about somebody else, you should have enough guts to say, I don't think I want to hear that. I don't want to be part of the problem. I want to be part of the solution. How about this? I don't know why a preacher had to do that. Well, why don't you talk to the preacher? I don't know why, the guitar, I don't like that guitar. I don't like the violin. I don't know why we had to listen, that spirit of just picking at things and causing division over nothing. We don't take a survey on who likes orange leaves on Sunday morning. You don't like them, just cover your eyes and listen the whole time. I don't know. But people talk about all kinds of silly things, and those are, believe it or not, that kind of spirit gets people out of church, and it divides the body of Christ. You know, what I'm getting at is this. God does not want us divided over things that are not worth being divided over. All right? God wants us united. Now, the question is this. How do I do that? Look at Acts chapter 4. How do I stay united with the body? Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, look, if you would, at verse number 31. Verse number 31. By the way, people talk a lot about experiencing the power of God. I'm convinced, we're going to talk about that in the morning service. I'm convinced the average Christian today does not want it. Because you know what usually causes that to be experienced in your life? Going through hardship. What you're about to read in verse 31 and 32 is what I would love to see in this church and in every church. But do you know what comes in verse 29 and 30? They're threatened not to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. Persecution. Look at verse number 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Do you realize the power of God is associated with God's people being united? Now they're united because they have one heart and one soul. Well, how do you do that? Well, it starts with thinking of yourself as a servant, as we've already read. It comes from the right mindset. It comes from understanding that I'm not here just to take, and you're not here just to serve me. I'm here to serve you. And you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for Christians to go, how can I help? What can I do? How can I be of service? You say, what is that? It's a servant's mindset. I'll say this much. When you find yourself complaining about anything, doesn't matter what it is, I know this much. The people that complain the most are usually the ones that contribute the least. That even happens in a family. You might have, certain kids, and one of them's like, nah, 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 and that's usually the one that doesn't want to help. And some of you were that kid. Amen. Amen. Like, preacher, I've grown out of that. Praise God. Wonderful. Amen. Can I show you something? Look if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Do you know God made you an individual and you have individual talents and gifts that God wants you to use, but that does not mean that it should ever become like the Adrian Superstar Show. You understand? It should be about serving others. And I'll show you what I'm talking about. This is a problem, and I'll tell you why it's a problem. We live in a generation that is growing up with this. And listen, don't. I'm not saying if you ever took a selfie, you're evil, you're wicked, you're going to hell, okay? That's not the point. What I'm getting at is that we're growing up in a generation that is all about me showing me. So then you come to church and you're like, wait a minute, it's not all about me? Who is this guy if they're talking like this? Well, it was never supposed to be all about us. It was supposed to be about Jesus Christ first and foremost, and then others after that, so we can minister to them. Now, what happens when it's all about you is you've got your own agenda. And I'll tell you what'll bring division in a church more than anything else. I've watched it. I've watched it in great churches. I've watched churches get split this way. I've watched families torn apart this way. I've watched businesses fall apart this way. When people have their own individual agendas versus being on the same page in unity. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and Look, if you would, at, oh, what's the verse I'm looking for here? It would be down around, I think it's in the 20s, forgive me. I just did this off the cuff, and that's why we're not finding it, so forgive me. It talks about everyone having a psalm and everyone having a doctrine. If you find it before 26, thank you very much. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. You know what he's saying? You want it, you want the spotlight. It's about your agenda. You know what will kill a church or a business or a family quicker than anything else? Everyone having their own agenda. And so you know what you need in a church? You need the mindset of a servant with God's people going, hey, I'm here to serve. What can we do? Now listen, you are not in a church where the pastor is like, I want to see your tithing records and I want to see what your income, I want to see your W-2. Yeah, let's see your W-2. And I want to make sure you're doing, that is not where you're at, okay? I've heard of churches where that's kind of how things are. You are not in a church that believes in pastoral dictatorship, okay? At the same time, God does give a pastor for a reason. There is administrative direction in the church. And when you've got more than one people thinking that it's their job to be that, you're going to have a problem. And I've watched that. You know what God says? Okay, I'll give you someone to have you to lead this thing. And he's imperfect and he's not going to be right in everything. And your job is to pray for him and see how you guys can serve together to get something done for Jesus Christ before this thing is through. Guys, I think we're closer than we've ever been to Jesus Christ coming back. I think we are very close, and I think this, our time is short. Listen, I don't know. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you it's next year. It's in 20. You know, I did the math, and I got this number. Most people that do that are wrong. So eventually, someone's going to be right. I'm going to tell you this much. He's going to come, and I'm going to tell you this. It's going to be sooner than it was yesterday. Is that okay for you? I know some of you guys want me to get it. Listen, I've got my thoughts on it, but if I give you a chart and I break it all down, more than like you're looking for a day. You know what he tells you to do? Live in light of his coming every single day. If you knew when he was coming back, you'd do just things just right. Okay, all right, Jesus, now I'm ready. Right? You know, do whatever you want for the next 5 years, and he's coming back in 2026. All right, Lord, I'm ready now. He doesn't want you thinking that way. He wants you thinking he might come before I'm done with this. And if you live in light of that, like Paul did and like the apostles did, it would change your life. Now, in light of that, I want to get something done. I am not of the idea, the mindset, we're just holding on until Jesus comes back. You know, we're just going to, us four, no more. Let's just do whatever. Let's just, No. We want to go out and reach as many people as we can, witness as much as we can, lead as many as we can to Christ, disciple as many as we can, by the grace of God, dunk as many as we can, amen, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and get them busy doing something for the Lord and growing as believers. That's what we want. If we want that, you know what it takes? A bunch of us being servants. Me included. Do you realize that a leader is not to think of himself as above the people, but as a servant of the people? It takes all of us being of the same mindset and the same heart. Look at Romans chapter 12. Let me tell you something else. Not just the right spirit, attitude, mindset, but it does take what some Christians today might see as the dreaded D word. It's a cuss word in certain churches, all right? You say, what is it? Doctrine. Doctrine. You need doctrine. Listen, let me just put it to you this way. At your office or place of business, you've got certain requirements, and they've got an employee handbook. And, you know, normally you don't just take off. And, well, I've got 2 weeks of PTO, so I'm just leaving. No, there's a channel. You got to submit the request. You got to do that. You don't just do whatever you want. There are standards of operation. All right, so listen, when it comes to the church, God's people, guys, we're doing an eternal work. What work is more important than winning the lost to Jesus Christ and doing something for Jesus that's eternal? I can't think of anything that's more important. Now, if you think that's the most important thing, like I do, like the Bible does, I would say this, you have to know there are going to be guidelines. So for us to be on the same page, it takes doctrine. Look at Romans chapter 12. Look at verse number 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Look at Philippians chapter number 4. Some of you single ladies are like, yeah, I married that man of low estate. Amen. I should have said dated. I dated that guy 20 years ago. I married a better man than that. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Look, if you would, at Philippians 4 at verse number 2. I beseech you, Odius, and beseech Syntyche, if you will, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Same mind in the Lord. Well, how do you do that? Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. How do we get on the same page? Well, we have to have the right mindset. We have to think the same way. We've got to make sure we have the right spirit about us. We're here to serve. But I'll also say this. It also is driven by doctrine. Everything I just showed you was doctrine. You understand that? It was from the Bible. And it showed us the pattern of engagement for us with other believers. You know what that is? Doctrine. All right? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. What's the first thing it's profitable for? Profitable for what? Doctrine. All right? So you know what that means? For us to have unity, we have to know what we believe and why we believe it. Listen, I'm not going to go through all the lists, but let's start with this. We believe that this book is perfect. It was inspired by God. There are no mistakes in it, because if I didn't believe that, I'd be watching NFL Ticket right now. I would, or fishing, or hiking, or whatever you like to do. I'd be doing something else. I would not be standing here right now. If I thought this was it's a close call, it kind of gets us close to what God was thinking, I wouldn't be here. I believe it's perfect. You say, why? Because the book says it is, and the reason I know about Jesus Christ, and I know anything about God, is because of that book. And so if the source of your information is off, then your information will eventually be off as well. The source is perfect. Let's start with that. Hey, listen, I believe this. Once you're saved, you are not saved by good works. You are not saved by joining the church or getting baptized or being kind to your neighbor. If you're doing all of those things, you'll be a nice person and you'll still go to hell. Amen. You know what? You need to be born again, as Jesus says. You need to trust the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection for you, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Plus nothing. There's no works involved. You say, what is that? That's doctrine. All right? So doctrine is what is going to unite us, and it's also what's going to cause us to go, okay, if they're not of the same doctrine, it's going to be hard for me to be united with them. I might love them. I might pray for them. I don't have to hate them, but it doesn't mean I'm going to go to church with them. Right? Because the doctrine is off. And listen to me, I've watched this for the last 25 years. Trust me when I say this. When the doctrine is off, eventually the behavior will be off as well. You've got problems with your behavior when you have the right doctrine, but I'm going to tell you right now, you accelerate that process when you got the wrong one. So doctrine is absolute. It's the reason that God gave us the scriptures. All right, so let me give you a couple things in your outline real quickly. Number 8, like-minded and one mind remind us of the principle of unity. Like-minded and being of one mind remind us of the principle of unity. Number 9, unity requires separation. You will have to be separated from certain things. For example, if I'm going to be united with sound doctrine, that means I have separated myself from false doctrine. There's warnings in the latter part of your Bible about those that would scoff about the Lord's coming. All right, you should withdraw yourself from those that mock the Lord's coming. That's what the Bible says. All right, that's a doctrinal thing. How about this? Listen, the Bible talks about loving his appearing. And the context of that is him coming back to get us out of here before the great tribulation. If you know someone that's really all into this stuff and they're going, hey, we're going to go through the tribulation or halfway through it or whatever else, I'm not saying you have to hate them or talk mean about them, but man, draw a line there. You say, why? That's a big doctrinal issue. You know why? Because that's the same reason why some of you aren't witnessing to anybody, but you're talking to everybody about vaccines. So that's where I'm going to park for the next 10 minutes. You know what? When you're spending more time watching YouTube than you are telling people about Jesus Christ, the problem is not the world, it's you. You say, I got the greatest message that ever was. It's awesome. It's amazing. And listen, I'm not saying, pastor's trying to take my right of free speech. Say whatever you want to. I'm not trying to stop you. I'm just telling you, if you spend all your time doing that and you're not spending time telling people about Jesus Christ, something is off. And I'll tell you, if you don't, some of you don't know this, but a lot of the Christian folks online, that are driving all this stuff about the vaccine being the mark of the beast, they're the same people that think you're going to go through the tribulation, which is why they're pushing the narrative. Now, I'm going to get them out of the way right now so everybody can just know where Pastor Adrian's at and where our church is at on it. I understand that what is going on in the world right now is getting everyone ready to comply as sheep going to the slaughter. I get that. I get that it's getting everybody ready for a one world government. I understand that. It's getting everybody ready to put something in your skin, in your body, without question. I get all of that. But please do not walk around telling someone that a vaccine is the mark of the beast. It is not. It is a number that is associated with a name. That number is 666. Well, you know, if you look at the DNA molecules, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it will be clearly associated with people worshiping the Antichrist. Most people that are doing this are doing this so they can go back to work and do whatever they want to do. Now, whether you do it or not, I don't care. You're not in a church that's going to check your vaccine passports on the way in or on the way. I know some of you, the way you are, you wish we could give out anti-vaccine passports. Because you'd be like, boom, right there. I ain't doing it. No one's going to make me. I don't care what side. I really don't. We don't care which side of this you are on. It is not a reason to divide the body of Christ. Okay? But what I am saying is this. Do not say that this thing is something that it is not according to the Bible. Because according to the Bible, you will acknowledge that what you are, it's not going to be like, we slipped a little chip in there. And now we want you to bow down and worship this idol. You understand, that is what, there's going to be literal, for those of you that don't know, there's literally going to be a worship service for the Antichrist, and the whole world will use the internet to do it. I understand we're closer than we've ever been. But when you say something is something that the Bible doesn't say that it is, it's not right doctrinally, okay? So what I'm getting at is this. You should understand sound doctrine. You know what the church is here for? To get us all on the same page. To make sure we can get around the Word of God and go, yep, that's what the book says. That's what it teaches. And listen, again, I cannot express this enough. I don't mean this to sound mean or nasty. I mean it as gracious as I can. Whatever you think about any of the stuff I just mentioned, I don't really, you do whatever you want with vaccines and with all this stuff. That is a personal choice. You're not in a church. Now, maybe some of you want a church where the pastor gets up and spends 30 minutes talking about what you should do to fight the government. You're not in that church. Because Jesus had a chance to fight the government, and he didn't. You know what he thought? He realized his purpose here was not overthrowing the government. His purpose here was to win, to seek and to save that which was lost. You are looking at a guy who's an army brat. I love my country. I love where I live. I'm thankful to be an American. But I'm going to tell you, if you're not careful, some of you are spending way too much time online. I can tell when I say what I'm saying up here. I see your faces and you're almost like, what is he talking about? I'm talking to you. Yes. So you get your mind off of physical and temporary things and get your mind on eternal and heavenly things. If you're not careful, you'll get sucked into this stuff, guys. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to keep you on track. I'm trying to keep us united. You know why? Because I've seen churches recently get divided over that stuff. You know, did you do this? And did you take this? And did you? Well, no. Okay, we're drawing a line right through here. The Bible doesn't say to draw a line there. So if the Bible doesn't say to draw a line there, why are we drawing a line there? Unless everyone has a psalm and everyone has a doctrine and everyone has an interpretation. Do you realize, let me go with you. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. You ever have someone say, that's just your interpretation when it comes to the Bible? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll stop here. 2 Peter chapter 1, look if you would at verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. That's the Bible. That's the scriptures. Amen. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of what? You know what that means? There's a right way to interpret it, and there's a wrong way to interpret it. You know how you do that? With sound doctrine. Without sound doctrine, you cannot understand the Bible. I'm going to close with a question. For those of you that have learned how to rightly divide your Bible, didn't the Bible make a lot more sense once you learn that? right? It did, right? Like, okay, why did he say this over here and then say this over here? And it seemed like it was the opposite, you know? And like, okay, but we don't do that anymore. We do it, when you learn that, it opens your eyes to the scriptures. You say, what is that? That's called doctrine. So, Brother Caleb, we did well. We got through one slide today. I blame him. He should have hit the slides quicker. We would have gone quicker, amen? All right, let's all stand and close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the time in the book. Thank you for Sunday school hour, the time to learn the Bible. Lord, I pray your people would take heed, Lord, to the instruction given.